Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the war room. You got Dev, Jill, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the hot block commander.
Give it to you how you want it in a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics, solar lights and rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five door on prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the world ain't Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Let's go! What's up, good people out there in internet radio land? We want to welcome you to your favorite sports show. Your starting five is in the building. We got Jimmy, Akil, B. Austin, PJ, and I'm your boy Dev Mack. We got a great show for you tonight, so we're going to get right into it. We're going to talk some NBA, some NFL. We're even going to talk some fashion with fashion designer and stylist Imani Damali. Then later on in hour two, we're going to discuss the disturbing trend of millionaire athletes going broke. As usual, we still like to hear from you guys tonight, so when we open up the phone lines, call in and holler at your boys. That number is 323-410-0012. So like we always do about this time, we're going to give out some birthday shout-outs. All right, today, our first birthday is...
It's my birthday! Yay!
Richard Marvin, better known as Dick Butkus. He turned 68 today. Fellas, Jimmy, Dick Butkus. What you think of when you think of Dick Butkus?
Two things, yo. First off, he got one of the worst names in the history of Earth. The boy's name is Dick Butkus. So that's one thing. He has a horrible name. The second thing I think of is anytime I see highlights of him, yo, dude was like atrocious. What I mean by atrocious is, he used to tear people up. I don't mean atrocious in the bad. I mean atrocious in the way he treated his opponents. Yo, he used to throw cats into the coaches. Yo, football was a whole different sport back then, yo. I don't think I could have played back then, yo.
Yeah, he was crazy. B. Austin, Dick Butkus.
So what you saying, you could play now?
Absolutely.
I got a semi-pro contract for you. Dick Butkus, the first thing that I think of is, of course, pause and no Skittles. I have to. I mean, his name is Dick Butkus. The second thing is, as my esteemed colleague, the Blueprint, said, yo, he was a monstrosity. And it was like he was angry that his parents named him Richard Butkus. So he went extra hard to prove that... Yo, don't think it's sweet because my name is Dick Butkus.
Okay.
Man, he was a great linebacker. You see him in all the old highlights. Probably one of the greatest, well, I guess they would say one of the greatest ever, to even have an award named after him in college for the best linebacker. But I'm just curious why he just didn't go by Richard or Marvin.
Yo, his name is terrible. I'm surprised he just didn't go by Ocho Cinco. Like, the boy name is straight garbage. The next birthday today, we're going to take it to the wild heroine. Don King turned 78 today.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Kill, what do you think of when you think of Don King?
I think of him on Arsenio Hall wearing sweatsuits saying, only in America, only in America.
Jimmy, Don King.
Yo, I think of the same thing. I think of that saying, only in America. And I also think of boxing and its demise.
B. Austin.
Yo, why you do that to Mike Tyson, man? Why you didn't save him from himself?
Yo, Don King is he could be a big part of our main topic tonight because of Don King, a few dudes in boxing went broke.
Yo, you know what the crazy part about that is, Des? His name is never nowhere to be mentioned. And another thing I found funny is out of all the different athletes and figureheads and entertainers, no one has ever been able to put a net worth on Don King, ever.
Yeah, because he probably keeps
He's definitely a non-figure nigula.
Yeah. He's probably keeping his money cash too, man.
All right, so we're going to move on to the next one. We're going to go with another old head today. We're going to go with Deacon Jones. He turned 72
today. My birthday!
Today.
Yay!
Be awesome. Deacon Jones.
You sure is ugly.
Yo, the only thing you think about when you see dude is his flared up nostrils.
Yo, he's smacking cats on their helmet, yo.
Yeah, he invented the head slap on the defensive line. I guess that was perfected by people like Reggie White and cats like that, but Deacon Jones was the first one to do that. Kill Deacon Jones.
Yeah, the same thing. You know, watching those old NFL films, they talk about how he used to just forearm cats in the head, just bash them and then get to the quarterback. So instead of, like, using his strength or quickness, he just basically daze them for a little bit, and next thing you know, he has the sack.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably caused a couple concussions. All right, now, last birthday is a guy that you all know from Philly, Lloyd Bernard Free, a.k.a. World Be Free, turns 57 today.
It's my birthday, yay!
Jimmy, World Be Free.
Yo, he's the opposite of Mr. Richard Buckus because, yo, he got one of the best names in sports. Boy name was Lloyd Free. He changed his name to World Be Free. That's hilarious. And that's also my homie. I used to chill with him a lot of times at Sixers games when he had some kind of position with him. I don't know what kind of title he had, but he used to just walk around and talk to fans.
Yo, with long striped suits on. I remember that. Yo, his suits were trash. Kill. World Be Free.
Yo, World Be Free, he might be one of the most underrated NBA players ever. People may not remember this, but in Magic Johnson's first game as a pro, he had to check World Be Free, and he lit Magic up for something like 37 to 40 points. And, you know, even on those teams with Dr. J and all those other all-stars and great Sixers teams, he was like, hey, you know, y'all nice, but, yo, I'm World Be Free, and I'm about to get mine, too.
You had to bring that game up, though.
He was a Uzi, though. So he probably scored 33 on, like, 90 shots.
Was he?
Yo, my man World Be Free. I'm going to keep this succinct because I could go on for a while on World. World was like going to the gun range, man. Yo, dude was shooting from all different types of ranges. And for me, I know different people like different types of players, but I like to see a dude that can get it up. Don't get him.
Whoa.
Get his shot.
That's our birthday for today.
Yay!
So Jimmy's going to tell everybody what was happening while y'all were on the ground this week.
Yeah, a lot of different news stories happening. First thing I want to talk about with you guys is Mr. Albert Haynesworth, a.k.a. Doing the Worm. He was suspended without pay for the remainder of the season. Yo. And a couple of you guys are down there. You're down in the you know, the DMV area. So what you guys got on Albert Haynesworth? I start with you, B. Austin.
Oh man, Albert Haynesworth. Albert Haynesworth. What can I say about Albert Haynesworth? he gives us material like LeBron every week. Every week.
Yeah. I think all right, the whole thing with the suspension started because
on the warpath old DC.
Yeah, I think the suspension, you know, everything just came to a conclusion because he went on a radio station down here. He actually called two hosts who weren't even on the air. They left their homes, came to the station, and did a 30-minute interview with Albert. They just brodied the show that was on at the time because, you know, he's such a big story in D.C. Mind you, this station is also the competitor station for the one that Dan Snyder owns down here in D.C. So he picked them, goes on that station, and talks about how whoever's been leaking this stuff to the media about him are cowards. You know, basically he's talking to his teammates and the coaching staff. So they claim they
coward.
Had a foul on
you're the coward. You don't want to play football and help your team.
Yo, B. Austin, but come on, man, though. Like, all the anonymous sources, that's cowardly, too. If you got something to say to that man, say it.
And that's what he said. But you got something to say to me, say it in my face. But we'll talk about him some more later.
You laid on the ground and did the worm.
Yeah, he did that one. Kill, what you got on that?
Man, it's just horrible. His lack of work ethic. I mean, he's the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. And,
ever.
You know, story after story after story. Yeah, highest paid defensive player ever. And he just keeps crying, man. I mean, it's kind of like A-Rod got moved from shortstop to third base. Okay, and that's happened in baseball. But then Albert Haynesworth goes from 4-3 to 3-4, and he just has a problem with it. But
yo, I got a lot to say about dude, man. So I'm a reserve.
Yo,
I'm going to exercise self-control.
Yeah. Yo, but real quick, though, I just want to say that, you know, it's the crazy part. He has to be the most frustrating athlete in sports because when he wants to play, he's the most dominant defensive interior lineman in football. When he wants to play, he can ball. Problem is, he don't want to play that often. All right, let's go to another topic.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
Real quick, the NCAA bowl schedule came out, and at this point, the list of bowls is longer than the equator, so I'm not going to sit here and list all the bowls out, but you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/warroomsports, and we put the link so you can check out all the different bowl games that are scheduled. Another story. You got something to say?
No, I was just telling, join the page when you get there, too. Stop playing.
Oh, absolutely. If you're not already a member, you got to join that page, facebook.com/warroomsports. Click the like button anyway. Another story is the Boxing Hall of Fame inductees. You got Costa Zoo, Iron Mike Tyson, Julio Cesar Chavez, and Sylvester Stallone going into the Boxing Hall of Fame. So let me get you guys' opinion on that. Dr. Bayon, what's your thoughts on the nominees for the Boxing Hall of Fame?
Hey, that's a good lineup. I mean, especially with Tyson, and although Rocky or Sylvester Stallone was never a boxer, I think he did do a lot with his movies to bring boxing more into the forefront in people's lives. Even having guys like Tommy Morrison in one of the Rocky movies, and then having what's the guy, Antonio Tarver, in one of the Rocky movies, and even he made the movie after a guy who lost to a white guy, I forgot his name, Chuck Wepner, who lost in a fight to Muhammad Ali. That's where he had that story to come up with. So I think the nominations are good, especially with Chavez. He was like, at one point, he was something like 80-1 or 80-0 or something. And
I was talking to Dev today, and I was shocked that Chavez is just getting in now. Like, how often do they nominate people for him to just get in? So, B. Austin, give us your thoughts on this.
I mean, some of the other dudes are questionable, but I can definitely see where Sylvester Stallone deserves to get in.
Yo, who are you questioning?
I'd like to explain something. I ain't punchy. I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain, but I ain't punchy, you know. It's just
Yo, Costa Zoo deserves to go in just based on what he did to Zab Judah.
Oh my god.
Yo, me and Monica watched it last night like 64 times, yo. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
If y'all didn't see Costa Zoo knock out Zab Judah, Patrick Waring has put that on our Facebook page as well. You need to see that video. You might not be able to stop watching it after you see it. It's the funniest thing ever.
It's the funniest thing ever. Ever.
And
I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell some of our younger Southern listeners. Yo, y'all think the stinky leg was invented recently? Yo, watch that fight, man. Zab was doing the stinky leg in New York, man.
Yo. He should go in the Hall of Fame just based on that. Dev, you got any thoughts on this Hall of Fame class?
Nah, I mean, it's a lot of people that I've talked to questioning why Sylvester Stallone is in there. But, come on, man, I'm from Philly. You'll never hear me say a bad word about Rocky Balboa. He's the greatest fighter who ever lived.
So yo, bottom line is this. In my opinion, anybody who questions why Rocky or Sly Stone is going into the Boxing Hall of Fame, pause your radio right now, walk to the roof of your house, and jump off. Okay, so let's get to the next story. Urban Meyer stepping down as coach. And I know Dev got something to say about that, but hold on, Dev. Let me get Dr. Bayon's opinion first.
Nice.
Man, to be honest, I can actually applaud him for that because you don't see too many coaches walking away from those big-time salaries just to be with their family. Because a lot of times you have coaches.
Do you believe him? So you believe that? You believe he's sincere in saying that?
Until he proves me wrong, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Just knowing, I know because Doc Rivers. Last year he had the heart situation. I know Doc Rivers was considering walking away so he can see his kids, play high school sports. Now, the thing is, you can be a coach forever, but your kids, watching your kids grow up, you don't get that time. So if he's being sincere, I can understand that. And he has a bunch of money anyway, so, he should be all right.
Yeah, but they said that he had a deep family conversation on Tuesday, which helped make the decision. I wonder what happened in that conversation. His daughter must have told him that she was dating Ben Roethlisberger or something. So I don't know what kind of deep conversation he had. But B. Austin, what's your opinion on this?
I'm gonna go with Dr. Bayon and definitely say that you only get the opportunity to watch your kids grow up once, and it's a very brief part of your life. I mean, it looks long. 18 years seems long, but it's not. So I applaud him for it. Now, here's my caveat. He has to prove via his actions in the court of public opinion that he's telling the truth and not, because if we see him back on the sideline in 2 years or 3 years, then
– how about next year? Next year.
or you take that Broncos job, could be any.
Yep, Tebow's in Denver.
I know that. Yeah, Dev got some opinions on this. What you want to say about it, good brother?
Tebow's in Denver. There's no coach in Denver. Dude is going to get that money, but that's not even what I really wanted to say. All I'm saying is, watch out in a year or so. Don't be surprised if we find out that Florida has some improprieties going on. Some sanctions about to be levied. Maybe dude just ran for the hills before it all came to a head. That's all I know.
Yeah.
When it happens,
in this climate, what you're saying is definitely relevant.
Yeah, I mean, considering everything that's going on.
Since Cam Newton was there, hey, they might be in some of those Cam Newton documents.
He probably took a couple of
hours. The Heisman Trophy comes out this Saturday, so... shout out to Cam Newton, but real quick on that.
Hold up, Jimmy. One more thing. I was gonna say, now, like I said, we'll see over time whether you're telling the truth or not. But I do know, as I've evaluated different coaches, a lot of them, unfortunately, have like horrible family lives from their, wife situations to their kids situations. So if he is telling the truth, maybe he is looking at that.
I've also seen situations where
I know one that walked away from the game when he was about to take it over.
Real quick though, I've seen situations where they try to go away from the game to take care of their family lives, and they realize that that's all they know is football. So they actually come right back into it. You know what I mean? Bill Cowher walked away from the game to take care of his wife before she eventually passed. I mean, so some guys do, they take that step. But real quick, I just want to mention out there, we're not going to talk about it, but the Heisman Trophy comes out this Saturday, and I heard that Cam Newton may not show up unless he gets an appearance fee, but that's just what I heard.
his dad going to show
up? Basically,
money. That could be awful.
So basically, that's what happened when y'all were on the grind.
Word up. All right. So right about now, we're going to go ahead and pass that rock. If this is your first time listening, Pass the Rock is a segment that we do where all five of your hosts get to vent on something sports-related. Doesn't matter what it is. If you don't have anything to vent about, you can just pass that rock on to the next person. So I'm going to start it off this week. I'm going to bring the ball up the court, and I'm going to talk about the fact that the – NBA age restrictions. I'm going to talk about NBA age restrictions. Now, as a negotiating stipulation for the next collective bargaining agreement, the NBA Players Association is seeking to end the current age restriction. For those of you who don't know, the last NBA CBA placed an age restriction of 19 years old or 2 years out of high school on players entering the NBA draft. I think that retracting this rule is a bad idea. Personally, I wouldn't mind seeing the restriction being raised to 20, but I digress. I know that my view on this won't be a popular one, but that's why it's my view and not yours. I can look at this one of two ways. As a businessman, a man, and most importantly, a human being, I fully empathize with the players and their rights to make a living after high school. However, I can also look at this as a fan, and as a fan, I think that the skill level of the NBA took an enormous dip in the years between 2001 and 2005. These were the years when the straight from high school to the NBA trend was at its peak. Looking at the league overall, that was the worst period of basketball I'd ever witnessed in my life. The draft was more of a crapshoot then because teams were drafting 18-year-olds and they knew they wouldn't contribute for at least 3 years, if they ever contributed at all. The word potential ran rampant through NBA circles, but how much of that potential has ever come to fruition? For every Kevin Garnett, you had a C.J. Miles, a Ricky Sanchez, and a James Lang. For every Kobe Bryant, you had a Corleone Young, an N'Dudi Ebi, and a Kwame Brown. For every Amari Stoudemire, you had a Darius Miles, a Sebastian Telfair, and a Jonathan Bender. For every LeBron James, you had a Leon Smith, an Eddie Curry, and a Sean Livingston. For every, well, you get my point. I'm tired of watching bad basketball, so make these kids go somewhere to hone their skills before entering the big leagues. Isn't that what the NBA Developmental League is supposed to be for anyway? Just like in baseball, make your 18-year-old phenoms play at your minor league, a.k.a. D-League affiliate for a couple years, instead of abusing the purpose of the league and sending players down there as punishment and allowing 12- and 13-year-old broke veterans to occupy slots just to get a steady paycheck. I talk with my homie and co-host Jimmy about this all the time, and we both pretty much agree that forcing kids to go to college who have no desire nor intention of being students is a bad idea and a waste of time for universities. So, NBA, please don't cave on this rule. Please restructure your plan on the D-League and utilize it correctly. I'm tired of seeing clean-faced Uber athletes who do not know how to shoot, dribble, think, or play defense. Save your product. Keep the rule. And with that, I'm running down the court, and I'm going to throw on around the back, through the legs, pass to my man, Dr. Kill Bayon.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yeah, that's crazy, man. And what's interesting is all the guys that didn't even make it to the NBA that came out of high school. So, I kind of agree with that, keeping that rule in. Now, this week I will be talking about famous New York Yankees shortstop Derek Sanderson Jeter, who is of African-American and German-Irish descent. Jeter is viewed as the ultimate Yankee. Jeter has won Rookie of the Year, All-Star Game MVP, World Series MVP, a bunch of All-Star appearances, Gold Gloves, and many other awards for his baseball play. Now, if any of you have been following the Major League Baseball offseason, probably many of you have not, and winter meetings, you may have heard about Jeter being a free agent and negotiating a new contract with the Yankees. Now, it has been reported that the Yankees initially offered Jeter a 3-year deal worth about $45 million per year. Now, let's put into context the fact that Jeter is coming off his worst statistical season, batting .270 with 10 home runs, 67 RBIs, .340 on-base percentage, and .370 slugging percentage. In his defense, he did win a Gold Glove this year. Get it? In his defense, he did win a Gold Glove this year. Now, Jeter is coming off of a 10-year, $190 million deal and has made $205 million during his career, second only to his teammate, A-Rod, a.k.a. Alex Rodriguez. So he hasn't been hurting for money. After the Yankees' initial offer, Jeter and his agent made a counter offer, and both sides finally agreed to a 3-year, $51 million deal. Now, $45 million and $51 million may not seem like a big difference, but my question is, how did Jeter and his agent have any leverage to ask for more money? What other team in their right mind was going to sign Jeter for $17 million per year after coming off his worst season as a pro and turning 37 next season? It's not like he had any kind of leverage. His only other option if the Yankees turned down his contract demands were arbitration or holding out. The only reason I can think of is that maybe he was scared that he might end up broke after he retires, so he wanted to stack as much money as he could before he retires. And with that, I'm going to do a pass fake to Jimmy and throw a no-look bounce pass to B. Austin.
The Steinbrenners can never cease to amaze me, man, with their open checkbook. I mean, hey, it works for them, I guess. On another note, let's talk about somebody who, while concerned about their job security and future, may not be as money crazy and is based on principles, values, and morals. It's all about job security these days. And for one, the glitz and glamour of the NFL won't change that sentiment. There's a former Mississippi State player, safety Keith Fitzhugh, who turned down a job offer from the New York Football Jets of the National Football League for his Norfolk Southern Railroad job as a conductor, according to the Star Ledger. Now, initially, of course, I fell out of my chair. I laughed at him. I pointed at his picture. I laughed some more. I called my wife. I laughed. We laughed. And then I thought, why would this dude turn down his job? So I read the article a little bit more. And here's some history. Fitzhugh was added by the Jets as an undrafted free agent in 2009. Then he signed an offer off to be on their practice squad, and then he was cut. Then he moved to the Ravens practice squad before the playoffs, and then was brought back to the Jets in training camp this summer. Fitzhugh was released by the Jets on September 4th of this year. The temptation of donning the green and white can't compare to Fitzhugh's current stable job situation. Here's why. His own words. I told them I'm very thankful for the opportunity, but right now, being that it would be for just a couple weeks, I feel that I'd rather stay with a secure company and job somewhere I could have long-term employment. Fitzhugh, 24, is responsible for supporting his parents. His father is disabled and cannot work. Safe to say, this is not an easy situation for the 24-year-old young Mr. Fitzhugh. Fitzhugh's agent, Daniel Rose, said turning down the Jets was an extremely tough decision for his client, whose lifetime goal and dream is to play in the NFL and win a Super Bowl championship. The kid has more heart than anybody knows. Rose is quoted as saying to the Star Ledger, this is his dream job. It's his dream to play in the NFL. I don't think this is the last you've heard of Keith Fitzhugh. I look at this guy's dedication to his parents and his family, and I have to ask myself, in a world where we're looking at LeBron James making the decision and putting himself way out there and Albert Haynesworth getting $41 million to stand on the sideline, make mean faces, and tell his coach, I don't play in the 3-4 package, your base defense. I'm not going to play on third downs. I'm not going to play in your nickel. I'm just not going to play. Isn't it refreshing to see an athlete who is dedicated and committed to his family values? With that, I'll take the ball. Bounce it behind my back, off my head, with a head pass, no Skittles, to my man PJ.
Thanks, B-Money. That was a moving story, man. I checked it out. I think it might have even been you that sent it out to us, and I checked it out. I was like, man, that's real interesting, man. I can respect my man for going taking that route. But real quick, man, because I see the double team coming at me, and I just need to pass out of it. But before I do, I just want to let y'all know that Albert Stinkin' Haynesworth is a mutt. All season, this dirty piece of mule mucus has been overweight, lazy, petulant, contemptuous, peevish, immature, and just plain egregious. Compounding his deplorable behavior is the outrageous contract he was awarded 2 years ago, making him the highest paid defensive player in history. He exemplifies everything that's wrong in the world. But he wants to be a Michael Irvin voice. He's a beast. Speaking of Michael Irvin, has anybody ever noticed that when he gets hype and he's talking, he sounds like a cross between Hulk Hogan, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and the little girl from The Exorcist? Like, you'll hear him and he'll be like, let me tell y'all something. Michael Vick is the best player in the NFL. When he gets out, he's just going to run it. Oh, he's going to throw it. What he going to do? Can't nobody stop him. Ah. I mean, I'm just really waiting for his head to start spinning and for him to start foaming at the mouth. I honestly think that my man has sudden relapses back to the 90s when he used to snort all that cocaine. But I digress. Back to Albert Haynesworth. He is a crumb. And since the double team is coming, I'm going to throw a bow to the boy that's all hawking me, throw a no-look bounce pass to my man Jimmy out in the flat and let him take it from here.
Yo, you crazy. Well, you sound just like Michael Irvin, yo. And Albert Haynesworth is a disgrace, too. Like, he should be embarrassed. He embarrassed his whole family, yo. This week, I got a couple questions. Well, actually, not a couple questions. I have one question. And I know the black protectionists out there are going to hate me for this one, but it, Gav, I don't give a... Anyway, my question is this. How does Marvin Lewis have a job? And, you know, the national unemployment rate is currently hovering around 9.3%. And I just want to know, why is one Marvin Ronald Lewis, the head coach of the Bengals, not part of that percentage? Now, I'm not one to wish bad on anyone else. Now, hold up, I'm lying. Yes, I do. But I still need some answers, guys. This season, it seems like coaches are really on the hot seat. Some have already been fired during the season. Wade Phillips was fired because his team was full of cowards who didn't have enough professionalism to show up and do their job, as well as an assistant coach who sabotaged the offense so he could become a coach. So how does Marvin Lewis still have a job? Now, my homie Chili in Minnesota was fired because his drug-addicted, text-messaging 407-year-old quarterback went colorblind and couldn't stop throwing the ball to the wrong team. So why does Marvin Lewis still have a job? This past week, my beloved Denver Broncos fired Josh McDaniels because our team stinks, and he is to blame because he was given too much power too soon, and he wasn't able to translate video footage into wins as his former boss could. But why does Marvin Lewis still have a job? Marvin Lewis has been the Bengals coach for 8 years. He has a record of 58-63-1. In his tenure, they have only had two winning seasons. They had three 500 seasons, and including this year, three losing seasons. In the postseason, they are 0-2. They lost in a wild card round twice. The team this year is horrible, awful, appalling, dire, inexcusable, atrocious, deplorable, dreadful, hideous, horrific, and any other adjective you want to use that has a negative connotation. They are 2-10. And in last place in the AFC North. Now, Wade Phillips was not having a great season this year, but when you juxtapose his career and Marvin Lewis, it makes you wonder, how does Marvin Lewis still have a job? Wade Phillips has a career record of 82-61, and including this year with the Cowboys, he only has two losing seasons as a head coach. But, of course, the other season was when he coached my beloved Broncos, the prick. Anyway, I'm not saying Wade Phillips should have kept his job, but if he was fired, how does Marvin Lewis still have a job? I'm convinced that Marvin Lewis has some unflattering pictures of the owner that they are trying to stop from being released, or maybe he has some video footage of the owner with the transsexual that he can release to the media. Shout out to A-Rod. Whatever it is he has, it's kept his job safe, even though his team plays with no heart, their play calling is atrocious, and the defense is worse than some high school teams, even though he's supposed to be a defensive genius. Defensive genius? FOH. Goldie Hawn could do a better job if you gave her Finch on defense and Tremaine, a.k.a. Wesley Snipes, at quarterback. If after this season Marvin Lewis still has a job, he needs to be investigated by the FBI or CTU because he's holding someone's daughter hostage and Jack Bauer needs to come out of retirement. I'm nice, and I'm done. And I go and dunk the ball.
And with that, the crowd goes wild. B. Austin, I'll take that real quick.
Y'all can check out our website at www.warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. You can join the chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the war room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, favorite us, do whatever you need to do to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show every week. Speaking of blogs, check out ours on the blog tab of our website. This week we've even had a few guest bloggers who've written some pretty good stuff, so check that out. You can subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So to call in and speak with us, you can dial 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. And if you're patient enough, we might just get to you. So anything going on in the chat room real quick, brothers, before we get into this next segment?
Talking about Central Lancers football squad is better than the Bengals.
They wish.
All right, yeah, look, no, they
we're going to play a little
on
game.
Facebook,
okay.
I was going to say on Facebook, Al B. Art said, I asked, does Sylvester Stallone belong in the Hall of Fame? And he said, heck no, he's an actor. The Hall should be for fighters, trainers, promoters, writers, and referees, period.
Nah,
well,
he did a lot of
game.
Well, here's the thing about that. I mean, it's all about your contributions to the sport. He's probably contributed more than a lot of those mutts that are already in the Hall. What about the Contender on ESPN? Y'all remember that, John? The Contender, the little reality show?
Yeah, he made that. Yeah.
Yeah, so
I'll
be.
For wait.
I'll be to jump off his roof.
You're the man, I'll be. But look, we're going to play a little game we like to call overrated, overpaid it, overplayed it. Now, this is a game where we pick four players. Well, this week it was my turn to pick players. These guys don't know who I'm going to pick. I'm going to run off the player's name, and these guys are going to briefly tell me if that player falls into one of those three categories of being overrated, overpaid, or overplayed. So the first player today that we're going to do this with is Andre Iguodala. Jimmy, overrated, overpaid it, overplated?
I think that he is none of the above. I think he's underrated. And I know some of my co-hosts going to have a problem with that, but I'm riding with Iggy, no rainbow. Iggy is nice. He's just not a number one. But I don't think anyone overrates Iggy. I don't think, I mean, you know, I understand he makes the money he makes, but considering what some of these other guys got, he's better than Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
Overrated. And overpaid it, and it's funny because I'm not a detractor. Like, I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but you know, the cat definitely has game. But I think that we can't just say, look at some of the money that these other cats are paid. I think we have to look at him for who and what he is. He's paid as though he's the number one option. Now, that's not to say there's a lot of cats in the league that got max deals that shouldn't have. But I compare him directly to Rudy is gay. When you look at Rudy and Iggy, they're of similar talent level, similar ability, but Rudy is taking that bull by the horns and striving to be that number one man and that number one option on a team that has some talent. And
he don't guard nobody.
Huh?
I said Rudy doesn't guard anybody, though. Kill, what you
mean?
Overrated.
Rudy can't guard you, fam. He can't guard you, yo. Rudy don't play no D. Iggy plays D. Stop it.
Kill, overrated, overpaid it, overplayed it.
Man, that's a tough one. He's not overrated because he does a lot on the floor. But then again, well, this is the thing. To me, Iggy is a two. is a number two option. I don't think he's a number one option. So he may be overrated in that fact that the Sixers are promoting him as, this is our star player, this is the guy that's going to take us to the promised land. He's not that guy.
They don't have a choice.
Yo, but honestly, exactly. He's not even promoted as that. When you look at all their marketing and promotions, Elton Brand is like the face that they put out there as their number one option.
Yeah,
I mean, he's trash. He's going to really get to it.
That's just, yeah, it's all about Jody Meeks.
Go ahead, Kel,
he couldn't get it done, and they've been trying to get somebody to fill that spot. Realize that he couldn't handle it.
So I don't think he's overrated. I would say he's overpaid, but like Jimmy was saying, compared to what other players who aren't as good as him have received, he's pretty much paid what he should be getting paid. Overplayed it? No, I don't think he's overplayed it. But he's just missing that it factor to take over games in the fourth quarter.
All right, PJ, overrated, overpaid it, or overplayed it?
I'll take number one, please. Overrated. I mean, I like Iggy. His rebounding, transition game, both offensively and defensively are good. His court vision passing ability is decent. Perimeter defense is borderline elite, but he's not a number one option. He can't manufacture his own shot. So, to me, he doesn't shoot well. He's not a three-point shooter, which he doesn't have to be, and that's fine. But I like him to reduce the number of threes that he takes and focus more on his mid-range game because a lot of times, he attacks the basket like a beast, but that option isn't always there. And instead of trying to either, bail the defense out with a whack three or driving to the lane and hoping he gets fouled, if he could get more of a mid-range game, I think he would be more effective. But I think he's overrated because I don't think he can do what, like Kill said, I think he's overrated because he's looked at as the number one option. Now, they are trying to transition that to Brand, but I think that's because of inadequacies.
No, that's just because Iggy too ugly for the media. But look,
no, but honestly, to be overrated, don't you have to be rated high?
Listen, that's what this.
Yeah,
is,
but
this
you don't think
I
he's rated really high? You don't think he's considered like for instance, even if you look at this is not a great example, but like commercials, you'll see him compared with other stars of teams. He's usually put up as the team the team star, I would say. And he was able to carry that load, though, to be the one that can carry that, but I don't think he can do
it. I know you have something to say about this,
right,
Dev. What you got to say about this?
I don't think Iggy's overrated. I don't think he's overrated, and I can't say, I don't think that's a good thing to say he's overrated because of what the team's doing. The team is a talentless team, so you can't go by because the Sixers are making him the number one. The Sixers stink. So just because he's the number one option on the Sixers doesn't make him overrated. I don't hear a lot of people around the league saying that Iggy is anything but a number two and, a great complimentary player. They always say if you put Iggy on this team with LeBron or with this person, he would make that team a championship team. So I don't think he's overrated. I do think he's overpaid. I think they overpaid it. $82 million was a little steep to pay for somebody who's not
I think
not
that's because they overrated him. That's why they paid him that.
Well, that's why we got three categories. I don't think he's overrated because the lead. You keep going on what the Sixers did.
DeMar DeRozan, whatever his name is, he's the number one option on the team.
Yeah.
My question, who's the one that makes the definitive overrated, decision, though? Because that's just an opinion.
I mean, I'm
so
only
like
saying because I don't
the Sixers
think,
don't look at him like that, and they might.
I
mean,
I
the Sixers,
hear a lot
what they do doesn't really
reading,
count, but, I mean, who's making
high.
This definitive whether he's overrated or not decision?
Listen, I don't hear a hype machine for Iggy, and I don't hear, people in the media talking about how great Andre Iguodala is. That's why I'm saying I don't think he's overrated. Now, we're just going to
bring
it back down.
I feel like this year I really don't. But I feel like when he was in the Olympics and stuff like that, or with the Olympic team, I feel like they were looking at him like he was the Sixers, star player. And I just don't see him as a star in the NBA. And when I say star, I mean I use the term loosely because it's hard to define
more
what
star
is. But
that ain't hard to be, but still.
I said, who's more
right,
of a star?
Right, and I don't think he can be that, though.
Jody Meeks.
Jody
Meeks. What I'm saying is if you get somebody that's decent, though, they'll still be the star on a bad team. I mean, they can still be a star on a bad team. I don't think Iguodala can even be the star on that team and they stink. I don't know if I'm, saying what I'm – I'm not saying he's a bum. I'm definitely not. But I'm just saying, to be the guy to, take the shot in the fourth quarter or be the one that is, when you need a bucket, that type of player. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, he's a second option. He's a second option. Yo, let's move on because y'all can't keep hating on my homie, yo. Iggy, nice.
Hey, yo, one thing in his favor. Iggy has started and played every game in his NBA career, all 82, except for one year where he played and started in 76.
So, oh, listen,
yo, that's for another day.
I think he's overpaid. Jimmy, I think he's overplayed because he plays a lot of minutes. He plays every game, and he plays multiple positions. So I could put him in the overpaid and overplayed categories, but I don't think he's overrated.
Yeah.
I don't really hear anybody singing Iggy's praises around the league.
Yo, I don't think he's overrated after he took a feces on him this past week.
Dude, I ain't making him like a star, and I don't think
he's been top three in minutes played the last 3 years. He's been top three.
That's overrated too, Kill. That whole statistic is overrated. But anyway, move on to the next person.
The next person, actually, you know what we're going to do? Since we spent so much time on Iggy, we're just going to make that whole segment about Andre Iguodala this week, and we'll do another one next week. So
yeah, no doubt.
Moving on to that NBA talk, let's talk some basketball real quick.
Yeah. Let's talk some hoops, because I'm forever taking up for my man Iggy, no rainbow. Yo, me and Dev actually went to watch Iggy play live this past week. We went to the Bobcat Sixers game. Don't ask us why we were there. But anyway, and speaking of Iggy, he dunked on Gerald Wallace. It's something nasty that I had to bring it up because it was so hilarious. I don't know if you guys saw that.
He microphoned him real
terrible.
Bad.
Yo, he definitely did microphone him. But overall, my
observation
of the game, Dev.
My observation from that game, one, Jody Meeks is a top two player on the Sixers. That's not me saying that Jody Meeks is great. That's me saying that and Jody Meeks don't care about shooting the ball. And half of y'all that's listening probably haven't even heard of Jody Meeks. Number two, until further notice, until he proves something different, Evan will be known as Evan Turdner, because he is some shat.
Knew it in the game.
Me and Jimmy had a conversation about Evan Turdner, though, and Jimmy was saying that it's not so bad. Tell him why, you know, I shouldn't be so down on Evan Turdner.
Yo, a couple things. I'm going to go through my observations. Evan Turdner is bad, but, you know, you have to look at who was drafted number two last year. I mean, the brother out of UConn, what's his real name? What's the boy's name? His name is Hasheem Thabeet. We call him in the world. We call him Hasheem Some Sheet, because this dude was so bad that he got sent down to the D League as a rookie after being drafted number two overall. So although Evan Turdner has not shown, you know, the promise of being good, it could be worse. He could be Hasheem Some Sheet, which is the worst number two pick I've ever seen. With that being said, my observation of the game overall is a couple of things. The Sixers definitely need a number one option on that team. Elton Brand is a bum. That's how I'm going to put it. He's a bum. I've been to a couple of Sixers games, and every time I'm at a Sixers game, he gets pushed around like he's not there. Another thing is Steven Jackson, Captain Jack, has the smoothest basketball game I've ever seen in my life, yo. But the Sixers have no energy in their building. I remember going to the games when Allen Iverson was there, and the building had like a feeling to it, and that's gone. I've been to a couple Sixers games, and it's like the atmosphere is trash. So I know, Dev, you probably agree with that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, really the most exciting player of the game was Jody Meeks. Like, I'm not even joking anymore. Like, dude had 20 points in the first quarter. I mean, he only had like 22 for the whole game. But you don't even know.
I know,
who
yo.
He is.
I was looking at the highlights of a Sixers game the other day, and I thought that they repainted the Wachovia Center red because all I saw was red empty seats. Like, it was nobody in there, John. I'm just talking about the way we all blue in there. Yo, it was like a morgue, guys. I really thought that they did painted the joint.
We're saying all this, and the Sixers won by like 20 points.
Yo, the Sixers are on a win streak right now. Didn't they win the last 4 out of 5 or something like that?
I don't know, but they still.
Yo.
I think they won 4 straight. If I'm not mistaken, it was like 4 out of 5.
They gave that lead up to Atlanta. They was up on Atlanta by like a dub and gave that lead up.
Yeah, that was the night before. But I'm not really impressed. You know, it don't make me feel any better that, you know, Hasheem Some Sheet was the pick before Evan Turdner, because it's like a toss up. Like, what do you rather have? Like, some Shat or some Sheet?
I'm not pleased. I'm not some Shat or some Sheet.
I'm not. I don't take that as a consolation because I don't look at their garbage and feel as though we can lower our standards. And I'll be honest with you, I'm quite upset. Like, I'm emotional about this. Like, how dare the Sixers front office package this garbage up in a tight, pretty little package and try and sell it to us as fans? Like, they are they're an abomination. They're an abomination. We take other people's trash, give them big contracts, and put them on the floor and get this.
Like, hey, Brad.
Like Redskins.
Can anybody say Glenn Robinson?
Glenn Robinson. Elton Brand. Chris Webber. Yo, the list goes on and on and on and on and on.
Keith Van Horn.
We haven't been good since AI in 2001.
I don't want to talk about it. Let's move on, man.
Yo, all right, we can move on. Yo, what y'all think about LeBron, a.k.a. Ramon's, return to Cleveland? My personal thoughts before I ask you guys is the Cleveland players should be embarrassed, and they all should go on the roof of their homes and jump off because they treated this dude like he didn't call them garbage. I mean, the guy basically said that they were worthless and they couldn't make an and-one team when he decided to go play with his three friends and a bunch of bums. He basically called them bums, yet they treated him like a long-lost brother. That's my personal opinion. I'm going to go around the war room real quick. PJ, what's your thoughts on Ramon going back to Cleveland?
I concur with everything you just said. I was embarrassed at the Cleveland Cavaliers, like being all like happy-go-lucky and playing around with him and rubbing his toes and laughing at his jokes and doing the same thing that they did fuck up to him when he was on their team.
Hey,
I think it was corny. I think, like, you know,
just
the whole LeBron
thing,
man. It's just overkill for me right now. I don't have much to say. Like I said, the biggest thing I took out of that was the Cleveland Cavaliers should all their game checks should have been donated to charity for that game.
Dev, what you want to say?
No, I was telling PJ that Booby Gibson said that conversation that he and LeBron were having wasn't friendly. He was like, everybody.
He has no credibility, though, Dev.
I don't even care about the Cavs because they stink like the Sixers. I want to call out the Cavs fans because after all that hype and build up, like, all they did was boo. Like, I ain't see anybody getting dragged out. I ain't see anything flying and hitting the floor. Like, I'm not used to that.
They
don't have the same investment of emotion that Philly fans have.
That's not true. Before that game, I wouldn't have thought that was true. Cleveland is the reason that they made plastic beer bottles in arenas and stadiums. You remember when they showered the refs with bottles at that Cleveland Browns game that year? Cleveland fans too, but they sold out, man. They sold out. Because he still did the powder thing. And I told y'all last week, as soon as he raised his hand to do the powder thing, I'd have hit him with a D battery right in his forehead. And they didn't do anything.
B. Austin, what's your thought? Let B. Austin, I know B. Austin got something to say about this. That's his homie, Ramon.
It's kind of weird because I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm still going to Hashim some sheet on him. But let me say this. He did show me something by being able to hold his composure together and get 38 and ball and be productive.
Against the D-League team.
Against the D-League team, you're right.
And they wasn't doing anything but booing. You get booed.
That's why I said he showed me a little bit. Now, on the other side of that, what I'm hearing from Booby Gibson, if you believe in a dude named Booby, is that he was doing a lot of disrespectful stuff on the sly towards the Cavs, and they was letting it slide. So not only do you look at the fans and say the fans are soft, but now the team is soft because the minute that he looked at the bench in the 80s, he'd have got stoked by four different people.
You never lie, yo. If he'd have did that against the Celtics or even the Bulls, I don't think that – there's certain players in the league that still would go in his mouth for doing that. He would have did that against certain teams.
Yeah. He knew what he was doing.
So
hey,
he,
Kill,
he,
Kill,
he
what's, Kill, what's Kill's story? Let Kill weigh in on this, because Kill didn't say nothing yet. Kill, what
yeah.
you got to say about this?
Yeah, I was, man, watching that game, the way he was fraternizing with the bench. And like I said, we don't know what was said, but, you know, it's, he shouldn't have missed anything to him. Like, I remember when Joakim Noah called him out for doing stuff like that, I think at the foul line, talking to the Bulls bench, even though he didn't play for the Bulls. But it's like, you know, somebody should have reacted the way Joakim Noah reacted to him, or they should have just ignored him, to be honest.
Joakim.
So.
Yeah, yo, imagine him trying to do that against
the Pistons. When that happened, LeBron was still the league's golden boy, though. So the next day, everybody in the media jumped on Joakim Noah. Like, who is he to be talking to LeBron like that? If that happened this year, everybody be on his back, like a back.
And you know
like,
what,
back.
Man? That's funny. It's funny that y'all brought that up, because that is the very moment that changed my opinion of Joakim Noah, because I ain't even want to like dude. But he got heart,
like man.
Yo, I liked him there until he started talking about KG, saying KG is mean. What kind of nonsense is that? He's mean. He's supposed to be mean. He's your opponent, you mutt. Yo, sports in general is soft. All these dudes are soft. He's being mean. What the hell is that? He's supposed to be mean. That bothered me. Anyway, real quick, Dev.
But Joe, but hold up.
I know you want to take up for your bull. Take up for your bull.
Hey, no. I was going to say, as a joke, KG did make Big Baby cry.
He's too mean. Hey, Dev, let me ask you a question real quick. The players of the week this week, who are they?
What the hell is that?
All right, the players of the week this week. Yo, this is like a throwback to 2 weeks ago because Eastern Conference player of the week is once again the dude that y'all keep dogging, Amari Stoudemire, who got the Knicks balling along with Elton Felton, whatever his ball name is. And now the Western Conference player of the week is Russell Westbrook again. Now, Stoudemire, he posted averages of 33 points and almost 12 rebounds a game, shooting 58%. He helped the Knicks go 3-0 during the week. He tallied 30 or more in all three contests and had a pair of double-doubles. Westbrook, he guided the Thunder to a 3-1 mark, averaging 25.5 points, 10 assists, 7.5 rebounds, and 3 steals. Yo, Westbrook is a beast, man. He's climbing that ladder. I'm not putting his name up with the elite of the elite point guards yet, but dude can play.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Hey, Jim, what's up with your boy Mary, man? Mary balling out over there.
Mary,
I'm going to keep it real with y'all for the whole season. Mary has skills offensively. Mary definitely has skills. But, like I'm telling y'all, this is the kind of game that Mary has right here.
He got a little chip.
When it's time to play in the clutch, Amari won't be there. And Amari still can't defend nobody. Yo, he don't play defense. He gets block shots on the help.
I might give him work on the block.
And I'm
nowhere near the detractor. I'm nowhere near the detractor that James Williams is on Amari, because I like his game. I like watching him play. But I have been paying attention to him fundamentally, and you'll notice that he's got 30 points. He's got 35. He's got 38. And he's got 11 boards, or he's got 12. But in all of these games, look at what the opposing big man is doing.
Yo, Kevin Love,
you know what Amari's doing and his team? They are winning. The New York Knicks are
Yes,
track.
They are.
They
cures everything. But,
yeah,
Dev, I had an argument with somebody. Raymond Felton is the biggest reason why, in my opinion. Me and you talked about this the other day. I said, yo, Raymond Felton was picked high in the draft, so he was supposed to be good. But when he was in Charlotte, he didn't look like he does now. Part of it may be the system he's under, because he's playing that old Frank Greco basketball. They're running and gunning. They don't, you know, they don't play defense. So, but he's putting up numbers. Raymond Felton is balling.
I don't give him the reason. I say he's the big reason, second reason.
He's part of it.
Yeah, but, you know, even with David
playing
Lee.
Playing in the East is part of it.
David Lee put up numbers, but he still wasn't an Amari Stoudemire. So,
no, not at all. He's not an Amari. Yo, so those are
the month.
Players of the week. Go to the players of the month. Who's the players of the month?
All right, the players of the month.
Hey, yo, hold up. I got something to say. I got something to say about Westbrook. I'm going to say it here first. I think within a year and a half, maybe 2 years, people will be saying that Westbrook is better than Rondo. I think Westbrook is better than Rondo now. So we'll just have to see what happens the next couple years.
Bro, Kill hates
Kill
Rondo.
Kill. Just admit it. You hate Rondo, yo. You hate Rondo. You probably think he is right now. You just don't want to say it.
No, but Kill is a basketball purist, and he can see as many numbers and the way Rondo plays. A lot of times you can look and see a lot of deficiencies in his game. I mean, he does a lot of great things, but some of his deficiencies are, like, glaring, and you're like, damn. But at the same time, he puts on the monkey suit and does things that are incredible.
Kill has something against Rondo.
Rondo,
I think it's personal,
Kill.
Yo. It's going to come out. I think it's personal, yo. But go ahead, Dev. Who are the players of the month?
All right, the players of the month. For the Eastern Conference, it's the three-headed monster, Dwight Howard. If y'all don't know, we call him that because his shoulders are just as big as his head. And Utah's Deron Williams. Now,
Deron Williams,
Howard,
the champion.
Howard averaged 21.8 points on almost 60% shooting over the whole month and 12 rebounds, and he led the Magic to a 13-4 start. Deron Williams led the Jazz to a 14-5 start, averaging 21.9 points to go with 9.9 assists. He had 10 double-doubles and shot 86% from the free throw line. Those are your players of the month.
Now, you know, D. Williams.
Really so, fellas?
I think so. I mean, well, it can be argued on the Eastern Conference side, because as much as I talk about Amari, I mean, this past month, Amari, like, you know, was on the roll. But,
and he's been
tired
the week.
Yeah, he's been player of the week, like, every week, but he don't win player of the month. Explain that one to me. But on the other side, the champion, the heavyweight champion of all mulattoes that play basketball, Deron Williams, is balling. So I can't go against that.
Baby Huey balling, too, in the mulatto category. Baby
Huey. Oh, no, we're going to get to him next. We're going to get to him next.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right, let me not jump the Gizmon.
Oh. Yo. So, well, anyway, what you got? You guys got any thoughts on that, Dev, in terms of player of the month?
No, I mean, like you said, I think, you know, Dwight could have had some competition for that award, but, you know, it's whatever. I don't really put too much stock in these objective awards anyway. So, y'all want
that's true.
The rookies, or y'all want to say something about that?
Yeah, I do want to talk about the rookies in the month. Give me the rookies of the month, and I'll let you know, you know, we can go around the table on that, too. Who
so
the rookie
Western
of the month?
The Western Conference rookie of the month, of course, everybody knows who that's going to be, is Blake Griffin. But the Eastern
Intercontinental
Conference
champion.
Rookie of the month will surprise you if you didn't already know who it was. Another New York Knick, and it's rookie Landry Fields. Let me tell
New
you.
New York Bayou.
Landry Fields, he only averaged 11 points and 7 rebounds. But they say the reason that John Wall didn't get it despite averaging 18 and 9 assists is because Landry Fields played in all 19 games, and, of course, the Knicks are a better team than the Wizards, and John Wall missed 6 games. Personally, I don't know. How many games did they play in a month? I don't think 6. I mean, 6 is a lot of games, but the dude averaging 18 and 9. Like, come on, son.
You know, like,
so
four
what
steals,
do y'all think
yo.
About that one? Landry Fields? Over John
I agree
Wall
with what you
month?
Said. Landry's playing better, but I agree with what you said. So we can, like, Brad, what you think about that?
I don't like John Wall jump shots, so.
Yo, you another one, yo. You got something personal against him. You dudes be having, like, personal beefs with these cats, yo. You do not like John Wall.
Yo, I like John Wall. Screwball.
I don't know about that.
I like his game. I like his athleticism. I think he's going to put it all together, and he's going to be something terrible to deal with. If you got to defend him.
All right. So that's and we already talked a little bit about that that whole CBA where they want the age restriction. Real quick, because
no,
we got
the
Heat
are on a 6-game winning streak.
On the line. I just want to get y'all opinion real quick. Do y'all think they should take away the age restriction in the NBA?
No.
Who
wants to go first?
No, I don't think so.
It don't matter.
Just
go.
I'll go. First. I don't think so. Because I think as a fan, I think the game, like Dev alluded to earlier, is a lot better. I think they should put a 2-year limit because I think that's why we have so much bad basketball in the NBA now and why teams probably need to be contracted because guys aren't learning.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm going to give my opinion. I'm going the other way. I'm going the other way. I think that they should lift it. You can't tell someone 18 and who's able-bodied that they can't work. And even beyond that, I think that money should be invested into the D-League so the guys can go to the minor league system, pretty much build the minor leagues up the way baseball does. Why should
you
go to college if you didn't go to class anyway?
When you own a corporation, you can make whatever rules you want to make.
I get that. But their reason is they want these guys to go to college. How can you force someone to go to college? It's not like they're taking class serious anyway.
They're saying that to be nice, you know, to be politically correct. They want the skill level to be up just like everybody else.
The reason they're saying it is, yo, they're getting money from the NCAA. Yo, they're in cahoots, yo.
I'm gonna pick a side of the fence. I'm not going to ride the fence on this. But I do see the other side. I see what you're saying, Jimmy, because who is any man to tell another man, and I'll consider you a man at 17 or 18 in terms of your earning power. He can't earn a living. You know what I'm saying? But by the same token, selfishly as a fan, yo, I'm not trying to see 18-year-olds in the NBA, man. It's ruined the game because in this country where we're a society of now and a society that applauds potential and athleticism, there's no premium placed on these boys learning the game and being taught, developing their skill level. So we
why force them to go to college, though?
Super. I'm not saying college is
don't
the answer.
To go to, they're not forcing them to go to college now.
I agree that it messes up the game. I think that money should be put into the D League. It should be taken more serious than it is. It should be just like baseball.
Definitely.
I understand the point you're making, because that's a good point. Just like Brad just alluded to, like, it's hard to tell somebody that they can't make a living. And I heard Carol saying that the NFL does it, because in the NFL, they do that. It's hard to say. I mean, in the NFL, maybe a little bit different, because those dudes are just – my thing is, if you can play, you can play. And I guess if you remove the age restriction, they still have to be evaluated. And I guess I think when – like back when Deb was saying earlier that, yo, when they were just letting anybody in because they were tall in high school and letting anybody into the league or drafting people, it was making the game so horrible. Like, the NBA
oh,
was
– Oh, you can't even
agree with
that. You have way more –
It's hard to deny somebody that's able and can play. It's hard to say, no, you got to wait. So, I don't know. It's a tough one. I'm going to stay on that fence for now.
Yo, but my thing is baseball's minor league system works because you have families that can't afford the main games that support these smaller teams that go to these minor league games. If you put the money into it, build the infrastructure up in the D-League, it could be done the same way.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I said that in my PTR. I think they should use the D-League for what it's supposed to be used for.
Because
you want to we got our guest waiting on the line, so you want to tell everybody real quick how they can get in touch with us, and then we're going to bring on right after that.
Yes, sir.
All right, real quick, y'all can get in touch with us by going to our website and clicking on the Contact Us tab and send us any information that you want to about our company or our show or inquire about sponsorship or advertising opportunities. You can also email any of us because our email addresses are on that page. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. On Twitter, you can follow us, twitter.com/warroomsports. You can subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at www.warroomsportstv.com. General inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, you just need to sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through Facebook or your Twitter. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates about our show. Speaking of blogs, check out our blog by clicking on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so that you can listen to our show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak to any of the hosts, dial 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. Pressing 1 is basically like raising your hand, and who knows, one of the War Room professors just might call on you. Get back to you, Dad.
Right there. So right now we're going to go into our What Sports Got to Do With It segment. And this week we have a very special guest. She is multi-talented. She is a fashion designer. She's a stylist. She's also a blogger, and she's doing a whole lot more, and we're going to get her on the line right now so she can tell us about everything she's doing. Everybody, Imani Damali. Hey, Imani, how you doing?
Hey, Donald, how are you? I'm good, I'm good.
I'm good, I'm good. Fellas, y'all say what's up to Imani.
What's going on?
What's up, Imani?
How y'all doing?
How you doing? How you doing?
Imani,
we're
right.
Good. We good.
Thanks
for coming
for
on. Well, thanks for coming on. So we're going to jump right into things because I know you got a lot of people out there that's listening to you today. So basically, you know, I told everybody about, you know, what you do. You're a fashion designer, stylist, blogger, you know,
indeed,
you do the
indeed.
Jewelry thing. You do everything. So basically, at what age did you first take an interest in fashion?
Okay, I guess I had to have been about 12, maybe about 6th or 7th grade. And, of course, once I hit high school, was over. So, yeah, about 12.
All right, so were you like the, you know, the cool girl in school where everybody wanted to dress like you? Or was it the opposite?
Well,
you
now, that
to
took a little time
up?
Now. Right. Yeah, that took a little time. I say it wasn't until about 11th grade when I really hit my groove with that.
Okay,
it took a minute. I was a late bloomer, but I got it together.
All right, so from that moment when you first took an interest, like, tell us about your journey to get where you are now, you know, like owner of your own clothing line and all that kind of stuff.
Whoa, I went after high school. I went to Banneker here in D.C. I went to Morgan State, and that's where I really figured out what I wanted to do. And they didn't have the fashion. They didn't have the fashion degree. So I majored in graphic design because that was the closest thing to it. And after that, I went to Parsons School of Design in New York. Where
yeah,
I
everybody got
in 99.
Up.
You say what?
No, I said everybody got to pay them dues up in New York when you want to get in the fashion.
Oh, yeah, of course. So after I graduated from there, I had an internship with Bob Mackie under Luis Librazo Miranda, who was one of my wonderful mentors. And then I came back here, and in 2001, that's when I started my line, Imani Damali.
Cool. Now, I've seen some of your stuff. Actually, I have a few pieces, a few men's
you
t-shirts.
Have, do
you? Yeah, you can look through my Facebook pictures. I'm sporting them. I'm advertising for you everywhere I go.
I'm gonna have to
visit your trunk show and get some more stuff. But look, a lot of your stuff looks really, really original. So what inspires your styles, like when you're designing your clothes?
It could be anything from the fabric to just people watching, you know, checking what's going on, what looks good. I mean, it depends. It's my environment, my culture, how I was raised, all of that. So, yeah, all that definitely has an effect on how I design my clothes.
All right, now, you know it's a sports show, so you know we got to ask you about sports.
Oh, God.
What's your favorite sport?
I would have to say my favorite sport would probably be basketball.
Basketball? Now,
yeah, basketball.
Who do you root for? What's your favorite team?
Now, you know, I'm not, I have to admit, I'm not that much into sports, but when I do root for anybody, it's either going, it would either be the Wizards. No, it would be the Wizards.
Oh,
I am the Wizards. And only because of my loyalty to my home, to my hometown now. So the Wizards and the Heat, because I do love the Wizards. And,
oh,
yeah.
The Heat.
You decided
yeah.
to take
heat,
your rooting talents to Miami.
And I mean it. I say it again.
What'd you say, Brad?
You decided to take your rooting talents to South Beach?
Oh, yeah. South Beach is it. Miami's one of my favorite places in the whole wide world, honey. So, yeah,
so
they can get my vote.
Just a
dollar. So, hold up. Were you a Heat fan before LeBron James and Chris Bosh went there?
No.
I don't think it has anything to do with Chris Bosh.
This is strictly the...
I think you're getting booed right now.
Oh, y'all need to quit. I told y'all I'm not a sports fan. I watch it when I have to. It's not that, you know.
All right, so you're not that much of a fan. That's cool, but did you play any sports growing up?
No. The most I did, I went and tried out for the cheerleading squad, but it was simply too much going on Georgia Avenue, you know, the walk home for me to stay after school to deal with that.
Yo,
no, and I actually made the squad.
Yeah, well, you know, because I went to Howard, which is right next to Banneker, where you went to
yeah,
high school.
Yeah, it's off the street.
And I I can vouch for the fact that George Avenue
is
no place for young
scene,
high school
honey.
Girls to be walking at night. But I think they consider cheerleading sports.
3:15?
They give scholarships to cheerleading.
3:15 was the
now.
Time for George Avenue, honey. It was on and popping. That was Banneker. That was Cardoza. That was Howard. It was popping on George Avenue.
Jimmy, what were you about to say, Jimmy?
No, what I was going to say is, I know you don't watch sports, but there are a lot of athletes who can use your help because some of these guys do not have the ability to dress. So you might want to get into sports just so you can help some of these guys out. Cause,
My services are definitely available for all who need it.
We actually have a segment in our show. We haven't broke it out yet, but it's a segment called Your Gear Week. So we're going to put people on blast. Movie on TV.
Wow.
Imani, I got a question.
Shout out to Tim Duncan.
Why are all these young men walking around in their sister's jeans and their girlfriend's blouse?
I'm so upset about that. Nuthuggers, honey. I have no idea. I'm staunchly against the Nuthuggers. I have nothing to do with that. I can't second that notion at all.
And it's
we're glad you're not a part of that movement.
I'm upset about that.
Yeah. We're glad you're not a part of that movement.
Denim tights.
Right.
Yeah, these guys are wearing denim slingshots. They might not be able to have kids in the future.
Yeah, they probably won't. So I keep hearing a lot about this trunk show that you got coming up this weekend. So you want to tell our audience about that and about everything
of
else you're doing?
Of course. This Sunday from 1 to 8 at the Thurgood Marshall Center, which is actually on at 1816 12th Street Northwest, the Independent Fashion Design Experience is having our holiday trunk show and expo. And so basically that means that you can come there, and it's admission is free. You can come there and find designers with clothes, and actually we have artists, fashion designers, accessory designers. So shout out to Unities and Al Cabalon and Maya Peace with her, JF Seth Box. All of them will be there, plus, of course, many more selling their wares for the holidays. And I know Imani, of course, will be there in full force. I'm having a humongous sale, so I need everybody to come. I'm trying to get rid of all my inventory, get ready for spring.
Now, this isn't just for the ladies, right? They're going to have stuff for the fellas, right?
Yeah, we have men, lines dedicated to men and to women. You know, anything from T-shirts to bustiers to the long sleeve collared shirts for the men. All of that.
All right. Well, I'm gonna try to come out through there. You know, on Sundays I usually sit my lazy ass on the couch and watch sports all day. But
No! You have to come out.
You have to stay.
I know how that is a major sports day, but you know, come through and see what you see. These are things you won't be able to find anywhere else.
It don't take me long to shop anyway. Now, where's your blog? Where are you blogging?
Okay, so my blog will actually be launching within the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually going to be linked to a couple of sites. One is my website, which is www.imanidamali.net or imanidamali.com. And the other one is going to be linked to a special project I feel very, very excited about called districthustle.com. That's actually going to be a national presence for D.C., representing artists and filmmakers, musicians, fashion designers, entertainers, culinary professionals, athletes, and nightlife, and D.C. culture as a whole. So
Imani,
that's going to be launching. Yes?
You have a question from our chat room, Urban Reader Chick. They want to know if you have clothes for the thick ones. Do you have clothes
for the big girls? Shout out to the big girls.
Shout out to the big girls.
For the juicy ladies, yes, of course. I have everything from T-shirts to bustiers, like I said, and I have quite a few customized line. So that's any size, regardless of what size you are. So I take your measurements, honey. You let me know what you want, and then I got it for you.
Okay.
Hey,
Ronnie, right.
do you sell like lingerie? I want to get something for my girlfriend to like spice the bedroom up a little bit.
No lingerie.
Get her something that show with a little head, peekaboo there. You sell that kind of stuff? Peekaboo clothes.
No underwears. No, sir.
Oh, man. I'm about a little negligee, one of them little sexy things. You sell that?
No. And don't say excuse me. Y'all cut me off. I was still talking about district high school.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead. I'm so sorry.
Please continue. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Let me get my laws. Let me put the shot spotlight on it for a second.
Go ahead. You got it.
Thank you. Okay, so it's going to be a platform for stories that hasn't been told, offering our perspective of the D.C. culture from every angle possible. So, yes, districthustle.com is launching in early 2011. I think January 1st, actually, 2011.
Cool.
So, I'm finished.
That's what's up. Now you got to get on, you know, that lingerie so PJ can get something for his girl.
Let me tell you something. The bustiers can go outside and come back in. Yeah.
It holds you in
where you need it and pushes you out where you like it. So, yeah.
So basically, your body is a lion.
Lion?
Your body is a lion.
Don't you know what good clothes are for women? It's what hides what you don't want to be seen and shows off your best features, honey.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
We're not lying. We just showing off what's good.
We got a caller on the line, Imani. This might be for you. So we're going to take this call before we let you go, just in case they want to ask
for
you.
For me?
But,
okay.
202-870. You're in the war room. What's your name and where you calling from? Hello?
Yeah, I'm calling from D.C.
What's up, man?
What's up? How y'all doing?
Pretty good. You got a caller.
Good, all right. Yeah, I got a question for the fashion designer there. I'm trying to just figure out, like, you know what I'm saying? We be doing films sometimes in D.C. We trying to make our stuff look really nice. Like, what do you offer to, like, the whole, like, if I'm trying to make a real good movie and get some real good designs, you have designs and stuff like that?
Of course. I've actually been fashion consultant and wardrobe consultant on a couple of independent films, and I'm available for such services. You can reach me at idamalicathy@yahoo.com. That's idamalicathy@yahoo.com for anything you need.
Hey, that's a big look, y'all. That's a good look, man. Thank y'all so much, man.
All right, man.
Right.
Thanks
there.
For your call.
All right, yeah.
No problem.
Good luck with the movie, brother.
All right, we're gonna take one more caller. 202-421, you're in the war room. What's your name? Where you calling from? I think they might have hung up. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My name is Rachel from D.C.
Rachel, you're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah.
Move a little bit to the left.
I forgot to mention. Hi, Shel. I'm also with a singer that's a nonprofit in D.C. specializing in fashion entrepreneurship. So
okay.
Rachel is actually one of our summer youth employment students.
You got a question, Rachel?
What'd you say?
You got a question for Imani?
About Missy. I just want to say that I love her so much, and she's doing such a good job.
Okay.
Thank you.
I love her.
Thank you for
your
call.
I love
you,
too. I love the kids.
The War Room love the kids. The War Room love the kids.
All right, Imani. It was great having you on. We would actually, you know, you can come back anytime you like.
Yes, thank y'all for having me. Don't forget about Sunday at the Thurgood Marshall Center.
We'll
Absolutely.
Be there.
No doubt.
You can come back anytime you want and promote anything you want. So,
well, I appreciate the offer.
Until next time, Imani Damali, everybody.
Thank you.
That's what's up.
Yo. Okay. That was good information. Everybody go support Imani out there. Now let's talk some football. All right? First thing I want to talk about, you know, in terms of football, are the Patriots abusing the Jets? I thought that the Law and Order SVU unit should have been called out because they abused them. You know, it's like a crime. So I want to get your guys' thoughts on the Patriots smacking the Jets, and I'll go around the room starting with you, Dev. What's your thoughts on that game?
You know, there's not much to say about it because, like you said, they smacked them, and just like one of our people on Facebook said, they said it looks like Tom Brady is on a mission right now. And I agree.
You know, Tom Brady's the best quarterback in football, bar none.
Slow down.
Hot block commander, the AKA the Peyton Manning protectionist. What you got to say about the Patriots smacking the Jets?
Yo, I'm going to give a little bit of credit to the defense because their defense has been much maligned through the season, and they showed up in a big way. Now, granted, it's not that hard to confuse Mark Sanchez in some bad plays, but their defense actually is number two or number three in takeaways. They just give up so much yardage. So I think that what we're seeing is Bill Belichick coaching up that side of the ball, and they're starting to gel and starting to come together. And one more thing, yo, shout out to Bill Belichick, because just when you thought it was going to be a rebuilding effort, these dudes looking like they could go to the bowl. This is a rebuilding. This is a new England rebuilding process.
Yo, here's why. I'm going to give y'all the secret to Bill Belichick. While most people go out and they scout talent in college and all these things, Bill Belichick scouts cameramen so they can get good video footage of the other team. So he spends his time studying tapes of like cheaters in reality shows so he can find the best cameramen out there, you know, to help him with his call. So shout out to Bill Belichick.
Lens on the market.
What's your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, like kind of like what Brad was saying, I think it was impressive to me. One of the things with their defense, obviously Brady is just ridiculous, but the defense, which is the Achilles heel of the team, you know, Belichick's been coaching them up, and they look pretty good. So, I mean, like, you know, Mark Sanchez isn't, you know, the creme de la creme of quarterbacks in the league, so it's not that hard to confuse the man. But, I mean, I think they did a good job of shutting him down, confusing him. And Tom Brady, Tom Terrific, just took it and rocked with his Uggs and Tope, still just destroyed that team.
But you also understand that we always talk about – go ahead, Des.
Joe, did you release that yet? You didn't release that yet. I'm giving out information. The picture of Tom Brady on the blog. My bad.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned that. That blog comes out tomorrow, by the way. You know what I'm saying? My writing is like John Grisham.
Just look at the picture of Tom Brady on that joint. Go ahead.
Yeah, that gets released tomorrow. Go to our blog, warumsports.com/blog, and, you know, check my blog out tomorrow. I got the one coming out, you know, talking about Tom Brady. But anyway, Tom Brady was slicing him like he was, you know, cutting meat at a deli. And he is on a mission this year. Kill, what was your thoughts on the game?
Man, I think it looks like the Patriots are peaking at the right time. I mean, they straight destroyed the Jets in that game, and I think like 3-4 weeks ago, I was saying that I felt like the Patriots were the best team in the league, and it looks like they're trying to fulfill that. And I think they're trying to prove that, you know what, we can win without Randy Moss, we could win with second rate players like Woodhead, who went to D2 school. We could bring Deion Branch back, make him look like he was as good as he was before he left. So I think they're really...
Their chemistry is crazy. It's like Deion Branch, I thought that he got deported the last several years, you know, or I didn't know where he was because he didn't do anything. But now he's looking like a player again, you know, playing with Brady. And it's crazy because they took them out of their game. The Jets like to pound the rock and play defense. But by the time you looked up, they were down by like 20. So at that point, their game plan was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no rock pounding.
That was a smacking.
Definitely a smacking. Anyway, real quick, I want to ask you guys a question. Just give me a yes or no on this one. Are the Atlanta Falcons for real? And I know Mopes 215 before the season started said the Falcons were a sleeper team, but and I disagreed, so little do I know. They look at them now. But do you guys believe they're still for real? Just tell me yes or no. Dev, are they for real?
Hard to say yes or no, man. I just don't believe in the Falcons, man. I mean, the NFC is weak, but I'm going to say no in the bigger scheme of things.
Got you. Okay, B. Austin.
I'm going to have to say I do concur the NFC is weak, but I'm going to have to say they're real deal because of the division they play in and the fact the NFC is weak.
In the
Okay, PJ. Are they for real?
I would say just like just like to keep consistent with the theme, I don't really think they're for real unless they're in the dome. I mean, I know they beat Tampa Bay on the road, but
I don't believe in Tampa Bay, man.
Because it's funny because, all right, I'm supposed to have one word, so let me stop right there. They might be for real in the dome. Outside the dome, I don't think they're for real.
Okay, Kill, are they for real?
Yes, Matt Ryan doesn't lose at home for some reason.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to say no, just stay consistent with the fact that I didn't believe they would be this good, so I don't want to look like a fool, so I'm going to stick with the fact that they're not good. Anyway.
They lose at home in the playoffs.
Man, why do they even lose so easily, though? I don't understand that.
Because they stink.
Are they, yo, now, next question, though. I mentioned this in my PTR, but I want to get you guys' thoughts. You already know my thoughts. Did Jason Garrett sabotage Phillips' job? Did he pull the real playbook out at this point? What you guys think, Def?
He damn sure did, because now he used to be pass-heavy like Andy Reid. Yo, the dude's mixing it up. He's running more than he's passing, man. He sabotaged the dude. He called a bad game. He ran the draw play 65 times a game, got your man fired, and now he want to be a good coach all of a sudden. How come he didn't
PJ, what's your thoughts on that, PJ?
Oh, he knew that he missed his grand opportunity like 3 years ago when everybody thought he was the best thing, the best coordinator since sliced bread. He didn't make the move. So he figured, yo, in order to get back on top or get back into the coaching realm, since the Cowboys are so bad, what I'll do is sabotage the offense, get Wade's sorry butt out of here, and then I'll get in and then call the offense like it should be called as the head coach, and then, you know, get all the glory.
Okay.
That's it right there.
Kill.
But I wouldn't even say that. I wouldn't even say that Jerry Jones wasn't in cahoots with him, though.
Oh, here you go. Because
he kept saying in public that he wasn't going to fire Wade during the season. He probably helped along with the plan just so he could have a real reason to fire him during the season. Go ahead,
Dallas. Okay, B. Austin. Let B. Austin give his opinion. I'm going to hold Kill for last because he's a Cowboys fan. B. Austin, what's your thoughts on Jason Garrett? Did he sabotage his job?
I don't know. I think a little bit of it is they believe in Tony Romo as an elite quarterback, and they look at John Kitna as a villain. So with Tony Romo, they kind of ride the wave in the NFL of pass-heavy offenses. But with John Kitna, you have to be more of a traditionalist. You got to have a good run-pass mix. You can't just run the ball. You can't just throw the ball 50 times.
Now,
I think
with that being said, when he first came in, meaning Kitna, they still ran those same plays. It wasn't until coaches were switched that the game plan changed. Even when the quarterbacks changed, he still was running those same draws, those same stupid passes. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it just looks kind of fishy. Kill, you are the resident Cowboys fan. What's your opinion?
Hey, I just don't like the way he's been calling plays now. I mean, Garrett, man, he should have had that same playbook when I was a coach because, it's just not right, man. He's running the ball now, and I remember in the Redskins game, he did a shovel pass, and that kind of ended our season. I just wish he called the same plays now that he did when I was the coach.
Shout out to Wade Phillips. He was done a favor by being him let go. Let's move on real quick. Brett Favre got blasted, and then Tavares led the team to 38 points. I'm not going to speak on Brett Favre because I've been telling y'all how I feel about him every week. I'm just going to say one thing. Before I would take Brett Favre as my quarterback, I would rather let Bishop Eddie Long babysit my children. So with that being said, Dev, what's your thoughts on Tavares leading the team to 38 points?
Yo, Tavares is garbage, man. He still threw three picks and leading the team 38 points. That was a game.
He was trying to keep up. He was trying to. He was trying to make the players feel as though there was no change because they used to so many interceptions.
You know, the Favre, I guess you learn from the best. But
okay, yeah.
I don't look too far into it. I still wouldn't think that like Tavares is their future, and if they had Tavares, they'd be winning. So I mean, I'm not opposed to him playing now because Brett is basically done. So. I mean, let him play. See if he can do better than two touchdowns and three interceptions.
Yeah, that's all Brett going to give you anyway.
I saw Brett Favre's spirit come out of his body when they hit him.
Rest in peace to Brett Favre. Yo, someone on Facebook told me during the game that the Grim Reaper walked by when Favre got hit. Yo, PJ, what's your thoughts on that situation?
Yeah, Brett aged about 15 years after that hit, because, like you said, the Grim Reaper came and gripped his soul up. I mean, if Brett Favre's out, all they can do right now is go to Tavares, but come on, I know they're not really putting their future in the hands of one Tavares Jackson. I mean, I hope they don't for the Viking fans' sake, but
okay.
I mean, you know, that's it. That's all I got.
Kill, what you got on this real quick?
Man, I just wish the season hurry up and end, and Favre can retire, and we can all move on.
Thank you. Favre Protection is AKA B. Austin. What you got to say about this?
I want the streak to stay alive, and I think they're gonna make the playoffs with Favre at the helm.
To garbage Jackson.
The black protectionists are going to come for me. He threw three picks. Eight, and it's really a slight. If you want to be a protectionist, look at the reason they won, which was Adrian Peterson, three touchdowns. Like, come on.
Let me ask you a question. When Favre throws three picks, you take up for him. When Garbage does, you have a problem with it. You know, with that being said, don't even answer that one. Let me ask you another question real quick since you're already here. Let's talk about your man, Peyton Manning. You are also a Peyton Manning protectionist.
Get that game. Let's go to the main topic, man. We talked about Peyton Manning all last week.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. We can skip this because we know Peyton Manning is in a slump, but it doesn't matter. Brad will take up for him even if he smacked his children because Brad is a Peyton Manning protectionist. So anyway,
Brad, you can go ahead. You can answer his question, though, about the Tavares thing. I'm curious, actually.
I still feel as though Brett Favre gives me a better chance to win than to garbage Jackson, unless they're calling plays for Adrian to get the rock. 28 gets the ball and we can win.
They should do that.
So
every week, anyway.
I'm not even
gonna
comment.
Now, anyway,
I'm gonna leave it alone, Dev. Just go ahead to the main topic. I'm not even gonna comment on
topic.
That.
We're gonna move into our main topic of the night. This is a segment that we've entitled "Mo Money, Mo Problems." Athletes blowing money fast. Now, you know, we basically want to talk about the trend that's going on of all of these millionaire athletes going broke after they retire, and in some cases, these cats are going broke while they're still playing. Like, you know, we're just gonna have a freestyle conversation on this because this is a phenomenon that I can't believe. Because I know it's easy to say, and everyone else will say, well, if I had that kind of money, I wouldn't blow that kind of money. But I guess until you've had it, you can't really, you know, say too much about it. So why do you guys think, you know, from everything you've seen and read, why do you guys think that so many former pro athletes and current athletes are going broke? Let's just talk.
Before my man Puff say, the more money you make, the more problems you get, and jealousy and envy is just a part of it.
All right, well, that's what Derek had to say. Jimmy, why do you think these dudes are going broke, man?
Yo,
you are a product of your environment and your nurturing, and most of these guys don't have positive advice around them. So if you have a poor mentality and you get money, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to show that you have money, and two, you're going to be generous. So you're going to spend money on frivolous things, look fly, look flashy.
And on frivolous people.
And on frivolous people that aren't going to be there when that fortune is gone.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's
you can almost equate a lot of these athletes, these young guys, when they come into this money, like just winning the lottery. It's like they come from nothing. And even the guys that don't come from dirt poor, but even come from, say, middle class, if that even exists anymore in society. But they don't. It's just like they win the lottery. And, it, I mean, first the guys just start trying to invest in everything they can because they say, hey, we want to start a business. But they're entrusting the business decisions and the financial decisions to people that have no business or financial acumen. They're not getting good financial advisors. And like you said, it's misplaced trust, Brad. It's people. They're spending a lot of money on family. They're trying to bring everybody along that they ever spoke to in their life, and a lot of people will cling to you. And you're young, and you're, you know, it's got to be tough because, like you said, we probably now are smarter, but reading some of the doing some of the research for this, I'm looking like, wow, I didn't even know all these people were broke, and they're not even young ones. They're still making bad decisions once they retire.
Yeah, and we're going to
shout out
that in a
shout
minute.
Out to AI and Crew Thick. I'm going to send a shout out to AI and Crew Thick. But, yo, a lot of these guys don't even come from the backgrounds like Brad says. Some of these guys are just like, yo, but you know what, though? I'm not even going to say that. The bottom line is, it's not just athletes. It's society in general. They make the same decisions that some everyday people make. It's just on a bigger scale because they have,
right.
You know,
they just have
the huge amount of money.
On them and they're doing it with a whole lot more money.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. If your mentality is to live from check to check, it doesn't matter whether you're getting $1,000 a week or you're getting $100,000 a week. You will find a way to spend that money because your security blanket is, oh, well, that check's still it's going to come.
Yo,
well,
all that being said, some of these dudes is just retarded, though. That's about some specific situations.
With that being said, who should be held, like, who should be held accountable, you know, for this trend? Because, you know, they do have things in place, like when you enter the NBA or you enter the NFL, they have, like, the rookie symposium where they spend a little bit of time on your finances. Like, do you think the leagues are doing enough? Are they doing their parts? Or, you know, are you of the mindset that it's not the league's responsibility? These people should, you know, once they get their own money, it's their money. They should do whatever they have to do to avoid going broke. What do you think, PJ?
I think it's the players themselves. Because just like we said, it's a mentality that these guys have. And the league can set up all kinds of programs and seminars and training for these guys and give them as many warnings as they can about what's to come when they come into money. I know Chris Carter does a lot in the rookie symposium in talking to guys about finances and how to conduct themselves as professional athletes. But I think it's just the mentality that these guys are going to have and the things that they do. I think ultimately it's the athlete who has to make that decision. At the end of the day, you have a lot of money. They know a lot about – just like we've heard, they need to do the research. If they haven't heard about a lot of people that have gone broke and made bad financial decisions and the Madoffs of the world that are out there. So
that's what I was about to say.
I think they have money now, so spend it on getting good financial advisors. You know what I'm saying?
I think at these rookie symposiums, they should do a PowerPoint presentation and show all of these dudes that we came up with doing the research. and show them
how much they can do. If a man can make $300 million,
it might
if a man can make $300 million and maybe 15, even if you're 20 years later, he's worth $700, like that should be all any rookie or anybody that's coming into any type of financial, you know, games.
You
see, like,
we'll tell the audience, we'll tell you guys who that is in a little while. But go ahead.
It can't happen to me attitude because if you think about it, they're already in a privileged elite position. So they think just like everybody can't make it to this level, it won't happen to me because look at these checks that's coming. And we do have to talk about the differences in certain sports because when you look at football where the money isn't guaranteed and it's more like a regular job and that you can be cut or fired at any time, yo, these dudes aren't saving their game checks. They spend it.
Hey, Brad.
Basketball. Go ahead.
I think it's kind of ridiculous that these guys, you know, because of the pending lockout in football, these guys had to be told by the president to save their last three game checks. Like, why do you have to be told? Like, why are you spending your game checks as soon as you get them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. They try and blow money fast. Listen to Maybach music, man. Stop that.
Maybach music, Ricky Rose.
Hey, yo, turn that rap music off.
Hey, yo, another thing I think they fail to realize is the taxes. Like, you know, when they sign a $10 million contract, they're thinking, okay, what can I buy with $10 million? As opposed to realizing, man, if you live in California or New York, that $10 million is automatically cut down to $5.5 million because of taxes. You know, if you're in a place like Texas, there's no state income tax, you're looking at, 35, so you're looking at $6.5 million that you have. And they're just spending to go along with all the
And the athletes that don't get paid from a payroll. The athletes that don't get paid from a payroll, like you figure the NFL, the Major League Baseball, these guys get paid from payroll, but athletes that are like boxers that receive checks, half them dudes don't even pay the taxes. So they are spending, not paying the taxes, and then when they get hit up by
a nice federal agent from the Internal Revenue Service, then they got to set up a payment plan. So,
and a lot of
figure a football player.
Oh, with that tax money, they're not even broke when it happens. It's like they rely on their counselor or accountant to pay their taxes, and when it doesn't get paid,
right,
they could be all right. But that tax man come around and they see a tax bill for $3 million or $5 million, and they like, whoa, that's all I got in the
shut
bank.
Up.
No.
Yeah, they ain't
shut
like,
out,
boy,
Wesley,
they like,
thanks.
Exactly. Hey,
shout
hey,
out
Brad,
to Swoop.
Like,
shout out
like,
Wesley.
Whatever,
he doing his thing and sing sing.
All right,
shout
look,
out
fellas.
To shout out to Swiss.
Look, fellas, I think it's about
nah.
time. Y'all wanna name some names, man? I think we should name some names.
Yeah, we
let's
gotta put these
some
people
names.
On blast.
Right.
They should be ashamed.
Let's,
of
let's
put
them
name
on blast. Some names, man. Let's throw out some names and what these people have blown in their lives. And maybe if we got any rich people listening, maybe to scare them straight. So go ahead, take the floor. Just throw out who you want
to
throw out there. Go ahead.
All right.
Save some of the good ones.
A lot of y'all favorite.
A little later. Don't go to the best ones right away.
Don't go to the best guys. Yo,
no,
all right.
All
right.
Yo, I'll
y'all
rap,
about
I'll
Travis
rap my
Henry?
Favorite basketball player. Hey, my favorite basketball
Big.
Player ever, Scottie Pippen. $120 million blown in bad investments, like buying a jet for like $10 million, and then lawsuits with attorneys.
Yo, what did you
mean? Yo, can
buy
I have a question?
Why
I have a
jet?
Question. Exactly. Where is he going if he needs a jet?
Why he can't charter one, though? If he want to do, why does he need a jet? Why, does he travel that much on a daily basis
well,
across the country that he need a jet? Or couldn't you just
he
charter
trying to keep up with Mike. He saw Mike blowing
yeah,
too bad.
That's another thing.
Hey,
yo, that's another thing that does it, y'all. It's a lot of these guys are trying to keep up with the Joneses. A lot of these guys are, say, rookies, and they come onto a team. And, you know, say I'm a wide receiver, and say T.O. is a wide receiver. Just for example. And T.O. has, like, a nice crib, man, all decked out, nice cars, goes on vacation for, like, 3 weeks at a time in Fiji, and all those kinds of things. And if that's my man, like, that's my mentor, that's the boy I'm hanging with, I might be trying to do the same thing that he's doing. I might try to, you know, or, so, in other words, my point is that a lot of these guys, I think, are trying to keep up with the proverbial Joneses. And they're blowing their money trying, just like Jimmy was saying, Michael Jordan had cats going broke. Just trying to keep
yeah,
up with his gambling.
The thing about Scotty had bought his jet, yo, and the John has never taken flight in 10 years, but he spent millions on it. The John, he never flew it one time.
Hey, you know,
yo,
you remember Rocky Ishmael, right?
Who?
Rocky Ishmael, he blew about $20 million. His story was a little different though, because he wasn't just blowing it on, you know, tangible stuff, cars and jewelry and all that kind of stuff. He was actually trying, but he kept getting sucked into these stupid business moves. So he invested in stuff like a rock and roll cafe, a record label, a movie, a cosmetic line, nationwide phone card dispensers, and calligraphy proper. Yo, anybody who
calligraphy proper.
Anybody.
Hey,
yo,
somebody need to suck up. Anybody that's listening that's close to him, sucker punch him right now. Damn, he could have gave that money to me. But charity.
Yo, like
yo, he was in Notre Dame, too.
He took it.
Yo, what's a calligraphy kiosk?
I don't even know.
What is a
calligraphy?
Yo, boy, for somebody to even.
There's a lesson to be
learned. I know he didn't know what that was.
There's a lesson to be
learned. I know he didn't know what that was when they presented. Yo, it is, cuz.
The lesson really is going beyond just saving your money. You have to know that once you step into a certain realm and you want to make your money work for you, you have to seek out the best advice money can buy. You can't rely on every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's coming to you with an idea, especially in certain communities. You're going to hear everybody say, yo, I want to open a barbershop. Yo, I want to open up a record label.
I want to open a record or a
yo,
bar or
a
restaurant.
Clothing design.
Yeah, and he took everybody.
I would be more skeptical.
And gave him money.
The more money I made, the more skeptical I would be about any type of person coming at me with deals and things like that.
Right.
It just seems like some of these people are just like, oh, bet. I wanted to make my money turn over and flip my money and all kinds of stuff like
yo,
that. And they're trying to do it quick.
Hey, let's go ahead.
Throw another name out there.
Let's yeah, let me. I'm
Mark.
I got a name. Mark Brunell, bro, he's still playing, ain't he?
Yeah, that's why he's still playing.
That's
dude don't want to play no more.
He like 56. He like 56.
Mark Brunell,
he got
a daughter
playing
in college.
But let's get to the big
yo,
man, because we're running out of time.
Hold on, real quick. Let me name somebody that y'all may have never heard of, but his story is crazy. It's a guy named George Best, who was one of the greatest soccer players from Manchester United. Yo, he earned over $100 million in his career and died with like 36 cents. Dude blew his money drinking. Straight drinking. Yo, his drinking
habit
was,
worth
yo,
of drinking?
Yo, $100 million. Listen to this. His drinking was so bad, he had to pay cash for a liver replacement. He had drunk driving and smacking at some people, had to pay them off. Yo, he spent it strictly on alcohol. Yo, drinking. He drunk $100 million down the drain.
Damn.
Yo, he must have had like four livers.
Yo.
That's about to say. He must have had like four livers, cuz.
I got one for y'all.
Shout out to George Best. Go ahead, y'all.
I got one for y'all. Evander Real Deal Holyfield. Mm. Listen to this. He had a estimated earnings of $250 million. You know, a bunch of endorsements and everything. Now, he was going to court because he was like $9,000 behind in child support, and this is what he told the court. I'm not broke. I'm just not liquid. So you know what they ended up doing? Yo, so they ended up foreclosing on his $10 million crib that had like 500 rooms in it, and his landscaping firm said he owes them $500,000 for yard work. Yo, for yard work? Oh, yard,
yo.
Boy.
Oh yeah, bro.
Yo, I know PJ. I know PJ ain't gonna like this one, but coming up, this was PJ's favorite player in all of life.
No.
My man
hurt,
Kenny G,
man.
AKA Kenny Anderson. Kenny Anderson bought a mansion in Beverly Hills, although he played for the New Jersey Nets. So can anybody tell me why you need a mansion in Beverly Hills playing for the Nets? I mean, I'm just trying to figure that out. I mean,
hey yo, they said his monthly expenses were $41,000 a month. He had $41,000 a month in monthly expenses from child support and just like living expenses. I don't understand
how
you do that.
How much did he blow?
He blew $60 million.
$60 million.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to throw one out there. I know we gotta get to the big dogs, but I want to throw this one out for a reason. Cheryl Swoops.
Hey, that's what
Cheryl
I was about to say. This is an equal opportunity show, so we can go on the ladies, too. Go ahead, friend.
Cheryl Swoops blew over $50 million, and the reason I wanted to bring this up, ended up filing for bankruptcy in 2004, citing mismanagement by her agent and lawyers. She owes $750K right now. The reason I wanted to bring this up is because this is really, really sad to me, because there are very few women in professional sports that have the opportunity to make over $50 million. She had her own shoe. She had a brand contract with Nike. Yo, how do you end up ruining that?
Trusting the wrong people like he started out with.
That's crazy. I didn't even know she made that much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me either. I didn't know that. 50 mil?
Yo, we ain't got that much time left. We got to get to the big dog, because he's gonna garner
you know,
a lot of talk.
You know the boy Cybertron was the inspiration behind this whole thing,
yeah.
Antoine Walker. But Akil kind of laid all of that out a few weeks ago in one of his PTRs. So we all know that Antoine blew like $100 million with a bunch of shiesty real estate deals and giving his friends everything they wanted in life. Now he's playing in the D-League for the – what team is that? Something Stampede. He's probably
Idaho,
playing like
the Idaho Stampede.
Yeah, the Idaho Stampede playing for like 25 grand. So that's all I got to say about him. He's deplorable. He stinks. Go ahead,
Let's get to the big dog. Who wants to talk about the number one guy on this list, the big dog?
Yeah, man.
Yo.
Go ahead, man.
Yo,
go
we
ahead.
Grew up on him.
Yeah, did we? And we watched him
ahead,
get
kill,
his
kill,
money,
kill you.
And we
who,
watched him
who wants
lose
to announce,
it.
Who wants to announce number right. one?
I got it. Hold up, Timmy.
I think he's here in studio with us.
Let me give you a drum roll. Let me give you a drum roll.
Okay,
go
ahead.
The number one stupid with his finances athlete ever is...
That you can win this fight?
Are you talking out of turn?
No, I think we're all talking together.
I normally don't do interviews with women unless I fornicate with them.
Unless
really
I fornicate with them.
Yo, Mike Tyson blew estimated lifetime earnings of $300 to $400 million. Come on, man.
They can't even account for that $100 million. They don't know he blew so much.
You know what I used to hear about, dude? I used to hear he used to just meet women, like, you know, on South Beach, talk to them for like 5 minutes, and then take them to the Lamborghini dealership, buy them a whip. Then he had, like, pet tigers and, like, yo, he was on TV one time bragging, like, yeah, this watch costs $1 million. Like,
yo. Didn't he spend $5 million on a bathtub?
Yo, he's,
yo,
yeah.
Yo,
and
purchased the Rolls Royce. One time he purchased the Rolls Royce, and in the same month that he had it, it ran out of gas on the side of the road, and he left it there. Brand new Rolls. He was mad at the Rolls Royce because he let it run out of gas and left it there and said, I'm done with this car. I don't want this car anymore.
Nobody balls like Mike was balling, yo.
Come on, man.
Yo.
Getting money. Mike Tyson.
Yo, but listen.
Yeah.
I am Mike Tyson. I don't like this Rolls Royce anymore. Yo, Mike crazy. It's amazing. When you think about it, like, in the context of just, like, us and, like, and how we view money and how we look at these dudes blue, like, I can't even fathom it, though. I don't even understand how you do that.
And if y'all didn't know, Mike Tyson is who PJ was talking about earlier. He was worth $400 million, and then at one point in his life, he was worth less than $700.
That's $700. After the
$400. Yo.
Yo, how do you go from $400 million to $700?
Yeah.
And how do you know you got $700, man? Mike was online looking at his account like, yeah, I got like $692 in here. Like, it's over.
I'm stuck on the story of running out of gas and just leaving it there, yo.
Yeah. Oh, brand new Rolls, cuz. He at least dropped like $250 on that cash.
Yo, my man left it there. Like, I don't need, yo, the joint out of gas. I don't even want it no more, yo. Mike
had somebody come pick him up and threw the keys in the woods. Yo, it's, yo, that's a shame, guys. And now they got my man out here doing anything, trying to be on TV in any way he can, just prostituting himself.
Yo, shout out to my man Iron Mike going to the Hall of Fame, yo. The War Room got love for Iron Mike, even though that's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. Your car runs out of gas and you leave it there, yo.
Hey, Jimmy, his career ran out of gas and he left that there, so why are you surprised? Yo, man.
That was
And the thing is, I'm a Mike protectionist, man. Yo, every time he comes with a stupid comeback, I still root for the dude, man, even though he let me down.
Yeah. I support him.
Oh, Mike.
Yo, Mike is my favorite boxer.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, he was one of the most exciting boxers ever, man.
And it's sad because when I get in boxing debates and battles, I can't even throw my favorite boxer in.
Yeah, because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yo, that is hilarious, yo. That's hilarious.
Y'all keep a watch out because in February, we're going to do a whole show devoted to our favorite boxer, Mike Tyson. So y'all keep a lookout for that.
All right, Mike. We love you.
It's going to be a good show. We're going to have some surprises for y'all, too.
Yo, that right there, yo.
That's a lot of money.
Yo.
That's a lot of money.
Yo,
that's
a lot of money.
I'm gonna take us out tonight while you're doing your thing. I'm gonna take us out on the theme song for this whole segment. So you go ahead and tell the people what happened.
Okay. We'd like to thank everybody for joining us in the War Room this evening. We hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. We definitely enjoyed doing the show once again for y'all. Be sure to join us next week. You know, the same Marshall fucking place, time. You know, catch us all over the place, Facebook, Twitter, and whatnot. Until next week, talk about the NBA. And then our What Sports Got to Do With It segment next week, we'll have fashion designer again, and also Michelle Toller, the fashion designers. We love them. We'll wrap to Michelle about her debut novel. She has an actual novel coming out called Designer Baggage, and we'll see what Michelle thinks she knows about sports. Our main topic will be the NCAA football and our problems with the current BCS, a.k.a. BS system. Most importantly, we'll get you caught up on all the biggest sports stories of the week, so check us out next week. Until then, we will holler. Shout out to Iron Mike Tyson.
Holler. Wave your rollies in the sky.
Now, who's hot, who not? Tell me who rock, who sell out in the stores. You tell me who flop, who cop.
pop the blue drop. Who jewels got pop? Two mostly Gucci down to the blue drop. The same old pimp, mace, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp. Can't stop, try, see my name on a blimp. Guarantee me and shove full of love, love. You don't believe in Harlem World, nigga, double up. We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Niggas didn't know me 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem nigga with the Goldie sound. Can't no PD, niggas hold me down. Cooler, school me to the game, now I know my duty. Stay humble, stay low, blow like Woody. True pimp, nigga, spend no dough on the booty. When you yell, there go Mace, there go your cutie. Call the spots.